Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, it's time for another of our live in-studio performances in the series we call the Soundcheck Podcast. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. The experimental pop duo Buke and Gace has collaborated with everyone from The National to the Blue Man Group. They're named after two instruments that they invented, a baritone ukulele and a hybrid guitar bass. But their new album, called Scholars, has a more electronic sound, including especially a device called the Arx, which they also developed. They're here with their instruments and others to play some songs for us in the studio today. Beginning with Derby, here's Buke and Gace. That's called Derby, a live performance here in our studio from Buke and Gace. It's a song from the album Scholars, which is the most recent from this duo, with Aaron Dyer singing. She also plays the buke, the baritone ukulele, and electronics. Good to see you again.
Hi, good to see you too.
And Aaron Sanchez had the Gace, the guitar bass, slung over his shoulder, but you were mostly just doing electronics on that song.
Yeah, on that one, yes.
All right, so I was surprised to learn that it's actually been over 5 years since the last LP from you guys, because it's not like you've disappeared. The two of you seem to be as busy as ever.
Yeah, more or less.
I don't know. Yeah, we have been really busy doing other things.
Now, you have the drone choir.
Yeah.
And you're the first voice we heard on the last album by The National.
Yep.
And Aaron, although the days of inventing instruments for Blue Man Group are behind you, you invented the instruments for Bryce Dessner's piece,
yep,
music for
yep.
wooden strings.
Right, the cord sticks.
Yeah.
I am still doing some Blue Man work here and there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's still going on a freelance basis, but that's my other life.
Yeah. At what point do you run out of materials to invent with? It seems like there is no point.
I mean, a lot of the basis of this project is to, in a way, invent and to like create new ways to be this kind of a duo and like perform everything live. So, you know, creating the instruments, the buke and the gace in the beginning was like, what can we do with stringed instruments that's more, you know, than a normal like guitar setup? And then also playing percussion with our feet and vocals, everything at the same time. But then that got to a point where it was like, okay, we've done everything we can do with that. What else can we do? So then that led us into more electronic stuff. And, you know, it's an interest I've had for many years doing electronic music on my own. So, yeah, it was just like, how can we be this band and be more creative, use new sounds, you know, kind of like stretch ourselves.
Right. And so this gets us into the ARX, spelled A-R-X. What is that?
It's basically software that we developed that is a way for us to perform samples. Like we use the computer basically as a big sampler that we can trigger other sounds while we're performing. So instead of using the computer as like a looping machine or like we're playing along to a track that's being played in the computer, we're playing the computer.
Right.
Except for like one song.
Except for one song. But we might try to, there's some pieces where it's like, oh, it's kind of really difficult to play this, you know, so then we kind of fake it a little bit. But it's just one tune. Like my bass drum, I am triggering a set of percussive elements. So it's like every time I hit it, it'll trigger several beats. Like, as I repeat that, it becomes a rhythm in itself.
So like an organist who has all four limbs in motion at once, you guys, you know, your feet are busy while your hands are playing the instruments and stuff. That's where you're triggering a lot of these samples.
Yeah, or like
less
Aaron.
So for me lately. I've been wanting to stand. So I've been trying to get my triggers away from my feet.
I would say job only half done.
So yeah, Erin's playing a keyboard controller, and she also has some access to stuff with her feet as well. I'm trying to stand more. I am also moving, because we both sat because we had all this stuff to do. But now we're like figuring out ways to move around and like be free on the stage.
Yeah. So now, Aaron, the songs on Scholars, first of all, the press material that accompanied this suggested that Scholars was a name that the two of you were kind of considering instead of Buke and Gace. Is that true?
Yeah, we were trying to move away. Well, because we felt that Buke and Gace, the name itself, was kind of limiting us just
to the instruments,
basically. And, well, we can't be Buke and Gace and not play the instruments. But it was advised. We
decided that it didn't really matter in the end.
I mean,
if we're, you know, a lot of this material, we're not playing the buke and the gace all the time, and who cares? It's fine. It's just a name.
Right.
But what is consistent throughout a lot of your songwriting is the songs take surprising twists. A song like Eternity on the record, for example, when it starts, you're not sure which of the two rhythms you're hearing is the one that's actually going to be the rhythm of the song. And, you know, there are all kinds of oblique lyrics at play and stuff like that. It seems like there's an unsettled quality to a lot of the songs.
Sure. I mean, all of it came out of our improvising together, and we recorded it to track this time because we made a mistake and didn't do that on a record.
Yeah, well our little backstory is, and this like explains our 5-year absence in a way, is that we did make a whole other record a couple of years ago and decided to shelve it. We decided we didn't like it.
It was too contrived.
Yeah, our composing process is always we improvise together in a room and we record it all. Mm-hmm. And then we go back and listen and find the music in those recordings. Previously, we were only recording to 2-track or like, you know, our phone in the room or whatever, just a crappy like, you know, sketch recording. You know, and then we would go back, listen, find the songs, create the songs, and then relearn how to play them. Mm-hmm. But we were never satisfied with our relearned, reperformed version. And so we made a record like that with that process, decided, oh, you know, like something's wrong, like this isn't working. And then we finally figured out that we needed to only use the improv recordings, like the original improv recordings, as the end result of the record. Huh. So we went back and started improvising while multi-tracking ourselves. So meaning like all our instruments are separated like you normally would do when you're making a real record. But we're improvising the whole time. So then we had all that material to work with. So that's kind of like why, yeah, the songs are crazy. Because like things, you know, it's not planned. We're it's just us reacting to each other as we're playing.
And then also with the arcs, because you would switch to a whole new set of sounds during an improv, and then we would just all of a sudden be thrown into a new soundscape that we'd have to react to. So it was a lot of us working with our sounds first and then reacting to the changed sounds and playing off of each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what Aaron's referring to is like in ARCS, I programmed a functionality where you hit a button and it randomizes what you're going to hear. So like we're playing with a certain set of samples or sounds, and then you hit this button and they all change mm-hmm. mid while we're playing.
And you don't know what's coming.
We don't know what's going to happen, and then we have to react to it. So in a way, it's like a compositional tool.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how this kind of sounds like the way Brian Eno would make records. You know,
it's not a new concept to record an improv, and that would be the piece, but.
Or playing games in the studio to kind of spur the creative process. Yeah. And, of course, Eno himself had an album, My Squelchy Life, which he never released. Although, little bits and bobs of that would dribble out occasionally and produce other later songs. So you have all that material. Who knows? It might become something
likewise,
someday.
Likewise, we have many hours of recordings that could be a song. But who knows?
All right, we're speaking with Aaron Sanchez, Aaron Dyer. They are Buke and Gace. They're performing for us today. I think we're ready to hear the title track. Here's Buke and Gace.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little different. That is Scholars, a live version of the song that is the title track of the new record by the duo Buke and Gace. Aaron Dyer, that's A-R-O-N-E, Aaron, singing and processing her voice live. Aaron Sanchez, that's A-R-O-N, so neither of you spells Aaron correctly, playing the Gace, the hybrid guitar bass, and using the drum, Aaron, to trigger the electronics, right?
Yeah, it's basically a bass drum sound and some other stuff. Yeah.
So you guys were mentioning before how these songs start as improvisations. Aaron, what about the lyrics? Do you improvise the lyrics while that's happening, or does that happen later on?
Well, this particular song, I had some, like, the maybe you will, maybe you won't was in the improv. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But then the rest of the lyrics kind of came out of that.
So once you've identified bits of the improvisation that you think are, you know, seed material for a song, that's what you start working with? That's how
lyrically.
The lyrics?
Yeah. If I hear, and because I'm oftentimes in improvising, I'm just like, well, I'm not saying anything, but
right,
I'm
right.
singing, and there's stuff coming out and with consonants, and sometimes it sounds like words,
right?
That I didn't intend, and sometimes there's actually a theme that I didn't realize was there, and I'll follow that,
mm-hmm.
so I'll kind of decipher it.
Yeah. And Aaron, the randomizer function that you were mentioning before, do you guys use that live? Or would that just be crazy?
That would be crazy. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is our performance is a juggling act, so it's pretty composed. But that would be great. I mean, I would love to be able to improvise live. We haven't done it too much, but
okay.
That would be nice.
But that would add a whole new level of
yeah. We'd be a slightly different band, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's. But this sort of gets back to what you were talking about. The reason for inventing the Buke and the Gace originally was so that you would not be a standard kind of band. And it seems like one of the reasons, for example, that guitarists often use alternative tunings is, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, this is the instrument I play, but I don't want to be stuck there. And when I get into an alternative tuning, it's like a new instrument and it leads me into new ways of writing. And it's got to be the same when you're inventing new instruments or writing new software, right?
Yeah. I mean, but it's also like we're solving a problem because uh-huh. we were only a duo. Like we used to have a drummer a long time ago. He left and then we were like, okay, what are we doing? Like, do we get another drummer? And then we just kept writing music together. And then we were like, well, we could play this bass drum while we're, you know, to accent things. And then that just became what we did. And then it's like, from there, it's like, okay, I don't want to just play bass. I want to have more strings on it. So I make something that has guitar strings and bass strings so mm-hmm. I can have a broader spectrum of harmonics and stuff. So it's just like that's our approach,
right.
I think.
The Gace, this guitar bass hybrid, it's a fretted instrument, but the frets are, they're leaning away from the center of the guitar.
Right. It's called fanned fret.
Yeah.
So it has multiple scale lengths. Where the bass string normally would be is the longest scale length, and then mm-hmm. it gets progressively shorter as you go up the strings.
Now, do you do all that yourself, or do you send that out to a luthier?
I built this one, yeah. I've built all the versions of the Gace.
So, okay. Yeah.
You should see him. He's so happy when he finishes one. I've taken pictures.
This might be the last one, though.
So this is not the only one, then?
There's a couple others that are still playable, but they've, you know,
They've had their day.
They've had their day, or they've been repurposed.
And what about the Buke?
This one, our friend Paul Fuster built, and it's out of an MG Midget hood. Yeah.
That's,
I don't know. And
okay.
I've been playing this one for years. It's
yeah,
indestructible.
Yeah.
It's all steel.
Yeah.
Well, so Scholars is the name of the new record. There was an EP called Aaron versus Aaron, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the title suggested, you know, that there was something going on there that needed to be worked out. Was that just a title, or were you guys actually trying to work something out?
I mean, we're always trying to work something out. I don't think it wasn't anything particular at that time. It just sounded like a...
Just a fun play on the names.
Yeah, or just like, yeah, this happens all the time.
So do you find that now that you've got the arcs first of all, writing software is very different from, you know, putting hybrid instruments together out of wood and steel and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm a nerd, you know.
So, okay.
I dabble in that stuff, so.
All right. And then once you have the software, choosing the hardware, is that like a thing that you have to do? I'm way above my pay grade here, so I'm not sure I'm asking the right question.
I don't know. I mean, it's sure, yes. I mean, it's complicated. Yeah,
It is complicated. Okay,
it's working with MIDI, basically.
Yes, I know what MIDI is. Yeah,
ARX is a MIDI note mapper controller type thing.
Okay.
So it's if people out there know what that is.
So it lives in the same world as all these other digital devices that have this connectivity built into them.
Yeah, we needed something that no one was making, so kind of had to design it.
I think the main reason why we had it too is so that we can switch all of our pedals at once, either mid-song or from one song to the next without having to lean over and change everything,
mm-hmm.
every song.
Yeah. Oh, so it'll control all the other devices.
I think it controls five of mine.
Yeah, it's talking to everything that we have.
Ah, well, that is handy.
All our effects pedals.
Or footy, as the case may be.
Yeah, it's very footy. We also have like expression pedals that do different things depending on where you place them in their up and down motion.
Okay. But the randomizer function is turned off, right? That's the main thing. We don't want to accidentally hit that. Because the song you're going to do next is another one of the singles from the record. There's a video released of this as well. It's called No Land. Once again, the band is Buick and Gace, performing live here in our new sound studio on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. We'll be right back. That is Buke and Gace, thoroughly enjoying themselves with that live performance of No Land, which is a track from their new album called Scholars. Aaron, at what point did that song become the song it now is?
Hilarious?
Hilarious. I mean, it has this kind of, you know, environmental kind of overtone to it. You know, at what point did that come out for you in the process of writing?
I think the chorus came out first. The rest of the lyrics were built around the chorus.
So you kind of just kind of like found that idea in the original improvisation.
No Family. Yeah, that was in it.
Wow. Okay.
So, because, like, I mean, I don't know how many times we played that over. And then that's just like the vowels and consonants that came out. And that's
cool. So, when you guys first joined us many years ago, you were Buke and Gace, G-A-S-S, because, you know, bass is spelled B-A-S-S.
Right.
Then the next time you guys came in, you were Buke and Gace with an ampersand instead of an and Gace had been changed to G-A-S-E. Now you're Buke and the ampersand is gone, and still the G-A-S-E.
Does that matter? Is that something that matters?
The ampersand comes and goes, though.
Yeah. And the reason it matters, and the answer is yes, is because, you know, all of us in radio now, we're working from digital files. So every time you change the spelling of your name, even if it's just an and or an ampersand, you know, that doesn't show up.
Well, we're trying to make it interesting for you guys.
Yes. Yeah. So on behalf of radio people who would like to play more of your music, let me just say, stick to one name.
We like to be unsearchable.
Yeah. Scholars is the... Did you really not know this? That this was like...
I didn't know that and or ampersand, the difference of would...
Google is fine with it. It's just like, you know...
I don't remember us officially using the ampersand, but maybe we did. Mm. I don't remember.
Mm. Yeah. It's on all the stuff that came out in like 2013 has the ampersand.
Huh.
It's in all the... Now, I'm going to nerd out. It's in the metadata.
Okay.
So,
I don't type metadata.
Okay.
Someone else did that.
Okay. Scholars is the new record from Buke and Gace. Aaron Sanchez, Aaron Dyer, it's great to have you guys back.
Thanks so much.
Congratulations. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.